The following message is from Radiant Church of Austin, where we are proclaiming the authority of God's Word without apology in order to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information about our church, please visit RadiantAustin.com.
A couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about this text, and I was thinking, you know, maybe we should cancel the kids' classes so that the kids could be here for this sermon. And then I looked at the calendar. It's like, ah, thank you, Lord. It's already on the calendar. So here we are. But before we go into that, I just want to let you know where everybody is, because you may be looking around and wondering, like, a lot of the faces you would normally see on a Sunday morning aren't here. And I'm sharing this with you not so you'll think that people are running away, but because I'm excited, and we are all excited. We were just texting about it last night and this morning among the elders, that it's really exciting to see how the Lord uses one local church, our little local church here, to bless others. This morning, Brian is preaching at Harvest Winter Garden, Florida. He and Lee Lewis were there Friday and Saturday to do soul care training, because if you remember, Lee is here to lead this ministry that we've called the Soul Care Collective, where he is serving four other churches besides ours and helping them develop soul care in their ministries. And Harvest Winter Garden is one of them. So they went there for some training Friday night and Saturday all day. Brian stayed to preach. Lee came home because today Lee is preaching in New Braunfels at the newest church plant in our family, Redemption Bible Church. Which is also one of the other churches that he works with in the Soul Care Collective. So Brian is in Winter Garden, Florida, preaching. Lee is in New Braunfels preaching. And Josh Viveros was asked to come and help lead worship at, I got to remember the name because they just changed it, Vertical Life Church, which used to be Harvest Houston Northwest. Today they're dedicating their new building. They just moved into a new building that they purchased. And today's their dedication service. They asked Josh to come and participate in leading worship along with their music minister. So on top of that, Brian and I had the privilege, it really was a privilege, to go to Phoenix last week. No, that was this week, wasn't it? No, that was 2 weeks ago, because this week I was in another place. Right. 2 weeks ago, Brian and I were in Phoenix for a meeting of global church planters, church planting leaders in the Great Commission Collective, the church network that we're a part of, and helping to develop church planting strategies for different different countries and cultures. And we spent, if you follow our social media, you saw pictures of people from really all four corners of the earth, just about, gathered. There were 20 people gathered in this room in Phoenix. And I'll tell you more about that at the family member meeting this afternoon, which, by the way, I highly, highly encourage you, if you're a member, to be here. It's not going to be a long meeting, but it's going to be a meeting that is full of great opportunities that the Lord is passing our way to serve in his global kingdom. So we're going to be talking a little more about Great Commission Collective and a number of other countries, but also we're going to be talking about a specific opportunity that we have in Nigeria. So exciting things. So if you're a member, you need to be here. If you're not a member, I'm going to quote Brian's favorite line. Help me make sure I get it right. We don't discriminate, you procrastinate. Is that right? Okay. So please engage the membership process. Many of you are already engaged in the membership process, but then you sort of disengaged, and it's just hanging out there. So, and I have you on a list, as a matter of fact. But I love you, and I want you to become members here if the Lord leads you to do that. So keep that in mind so that you can be there for the next family member meeting. And more of this news will be published more widely after we have the meeting today. All right. We need to get started on Ephesians chapter 6. We finally made it to chapter 6. And there's something here, literally something here for everybody. And I'm excited. And I got to tell you, I've had several parents who knew that this was the text that's up this morning. Already this morning, I've had parents, you know, kind of nudge me and go, man, you preach it to those kids. Oh, I'm going to preach it to you. So, yes, this is about children. Obey your parents. If you are normally in children's ministry, raise your hand. It's okay. Nobody's going to laugh at you or anything. Okay? Wave your hand a little bit because you're all kind of short. Good. Okay. Awesome. Okay, there's a whole bunch of you. Okay, guys, listen up. This whole sermon is for you. There's part that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then there's another part that says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Okay, kids, you need to listen to both sides. Parents, same for you. You need to hear what God is saying to your kids because you have to be committed to the same thing God is committed to in the lives of your children. And he is calling you to facilitate that in them. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I was doing just a little bit of cultural research this week. I admit I'm getting older. My kids are all older now. And so I just thought, I wonder if like what parents and kids struggle with is any different now. So I just did some, you know, some very high level research using this advanced tool called Google. And I found a very scholarly website called popsugar.com or something. It's a very reputable information pipeline, in case you're wondering. Popsugar. I just said that from the pulpit, Popsugar. Horrible. They did a survey and they asked parents, what is the biggest parenting challenge you've faced so far? There's a big, long list, and I just want to share a few of them with you. Some of them are very serious and kind of break my heart, and others, well, you'll see. What's the biggest parenting challenge you've faced so far? Toddler temper tantrums. I feel you. I remember those vividly. From my kids, not from my own toddler. I never had tantrums. My beautiful daughter being bullied. Hard. Maintaining good behavior when outsiders don't follow through on any rules that I have set. There's somebody who's going through something right now. Here's a good one. And I apologize in advance to the squeamish. Wiping warm vomit off the floor at 2 a.m. That's the biggest parenting challenge. I don't know why they specified warm. I guess it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier if it's cooled down a bit. Sorry. Let's move on. I'm just reading what it said, and it's popsugar.com. It's a reputable source. Trying to prove to both children that you love them equally. Wow. Letting go a little so they can grow up and become their own self. I like this one. Age 3. Although I think the quality of the source is a little bit in question because one of them, to the question, what is the biggest parenting challenge you've faced so far? One of the answers was grandparents. I resemble that remark. I mean, I don't know how that could be a problem for parents, right? I'm a grandparent, and I'm pretty super cool, I think.
Amen.
So, thank you, John, a fellow grandfather. Anyway. I looked for a similar survey of kids, but I couldn't find anything that was quite that candid. But what I found was the kids generally think that their parents have too many rules, don't give them enough freedom, don't take the time to understand them, and are too busy or too distracted. That's generally what I found. So it sounds like some of the circumstances have changed, but really not much in terms of parenting and childing. Kidding? They're pretty much the same that they were when I had younger kids. So let's agree right now. P- Parenting is hard. Thank you. Some honest people said amen. And kidding, being a kid is hard. Amen. Thank you. Amen. See, there were some kids that understand. So, kids, I want to tell you a little secret. I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag now. A little secret about your parents, okay? Half the time, they don't know what to do. They don't know what they're doing, okay? And there's some honest parents out there nodding their heads, okay? Now, that's a little funny, but it's also true. Parents, I do remember some key moments of being a kid, even though it was a long time ago. Parents, being a kid is hard. It's confusing. And there are a lot of times where you don't really know what to do. And you're kind of like faking it through life. I remember that. So let's all agree that whether you're parenting or whether you're being parented, it's difficult and we're all figuring it out. So let's be patient and kind with one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Hey, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Let's turn to Ephesians. You see, before we can go to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, we have to remind ourselves of who Paul is talking to. He's talking to the family of God. And he expects the children are there. Kids, you know that the book of Ephesians is just a letter that Paul wrote to a church. And he wrote them this personal letter giving them instructions about how he wants them to live, how Jesus wants them to live. He wrote this letter. And when the church of the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, that would be like the church of, we'd be like the church of the Austonians, because we live in Austin. Austinites? Sorry, Austinites. Sorry. I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as fast as I could. And Paul expected that this letter would be read to the whole church family. And he expected the kids would be there. That's why he put these verses in here. Okay? So he wants you to hear this. But before that, you have to understand that Paul is talking about how those who follow Jesus are supposed to live life as a whole. We're supposed to live life like Jesus lived, walking in love, being humble, being patient with one another, tolerating one another in love. That means when someone else is annoying, you still love them anyway and you don't get angry with them. This is the kind of life that God has called us to live in Christ. And he develops this through the letter to the Ephesians. We're supposed to put on, like we're putting on new clothes, to put on Jesus. So that when people look at us, they see Jesus because we act like he acted. We don't get angry, we don't get bitter. We're kind and we're patient. We're tenderhearted. We forgive one another because when Jesus takes over our life, when we submit ourselves to him, we obey him, he changes everything. Everything about us changes. And that includes how we live in a family. So, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul has already talked to husbands and wives, okay? So kids, your mom and dad heard this sermon last 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. Husbands, love your wives like Jesus loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. And so now he's turning from husband-wife relationships and how the gospel affects those. He's turning to children and parents. And he has the same thing to say to children that he had to say to wives, except he uses a different word. Instead of saying submit, he says obey. Look at verse 6. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Well, now that's kind of a lot of stuff, but let's just take it one piece at a time. Children, obey your parents. Now, this is an interesting Greek word, obey. It means when somebody tells you to do something, you do it. That's it. There's nothing complicated here. Children, obey your parents. That means when your parents say, will you please pick up those toys, you go pick up the toys. It's that simple. See, God's word really isn't that complicated most of the time. Children, you have, according to this, you have one job. So even though it feels complicated and confusing being a kid, you have one job. Obey your parents. Parents, they're looking to you. If they learn to obey this commandment, they learn to obey you, you better be careful what you're telling them to do. But I'll come back to you in a minute. Kids, you have one job. Just do what your parents say. And you can trust them because they want the very best for you. You can trust them because they love Jesus first and they love each other. And out of that love, they want you to follow Jesus with them. Okay? You see how this sermon to kids is really a sermon to parents? Because that stuff needs to be true about you, mom and dad. That you just want them to follow Jesus with you. How do we know that that's the goal? Because of the next phrase. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is the context for this relationship. Children, you obey your parents as if Jesus had just walked into the room and asked you to pick up the toys or to do the dishes or to mow the lawn or to whatever it is that you don't like to do. Right? If Jesus walked in the room and asked you to do what your mom just asked you to do, would you react the same way? When Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, he's saying, obey them as if the Lord was asking you to do this. So you obey them the same way. Parents, this means that whatever the Lord says needs to inform and infuse everything that you tell your kids. Because you want them to obey in the Lord, as if the Lord told them. And you need to know, what is it that the Lord would tell them to do? Well, he would tell them to clean up this incredibly awful room. Well, maybe he would. So why? Children, why should you obey your parents? He says, look at the verse, verse 1. For this is right. It's the right thing to do. Obey your parents because God says this is the right thing to do. So it's really simple, kids. It's really simple. Obey your parents. That's the right thing to do. If dad says, I need you to do this for me, then you just have to ask yourself, am I going to do the right thing? Because to obey is to do the right thing. Am I going to do the right thing or am I going to do the wrong thing? Am I going to act as if Jesus had just asked me to do this? Or am I going to resist and put up a fuss? Well, Paul helps us even more in verse 2. He takes this command to obey your parents, and he takes it back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, obeying your parents was one of the Ten Commandments. It was one of the Ten Commandments. The ten basic parts of the law that the whole life of Israel was built on. And one of those commandments is, honor your father. He quotes it right here in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. And then he says, because this commandment comes with a promise. There's a promise that comes with this. This is in Exodus 20, verse 12. You can go and check and make sure that Paul quoted it right. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That's what God told the kids in Israel. Obey your parents. Honor your mother and father. And if you do that, God blesses you. Right. Well, kids, how many of you would rather be blessed by God than punished by your parents? It's okay to raise your hand. How many of you would rather be blessed by God? Carson and Caleb definitely want to be blessed. Oh, good. Okay. The Rivas kids are catching on. That's great. It's okay. It's okay. If you honor your parents, God blesses that. Now, when he says you may live long, it doesn't mean you're going to like you earn salvation, like you get to go to heaven because you obeyed your parents. That's not what it says. The commandment was obey your parents so that God will bless the life that you live here on earth. That's what it says. But it's interesting. It says honor your father and mother. Honor. Kids, I want to tell you something. Something that your parents have already said, but sometimes it helps to hear it from somebody else. It's possible to do what your mom says, but still be disobedient. Because you're doing the thing outwardly, like you're picking up the toys and you're putting them away, right? You're putting them away probably by like, you know, throwing them across the room. Because you're doing the action and you're not honoring your parents. To honor means to treat them with respect. Because God has put them in your life as the ones who are going to carry you, to bring you along in life. Obey them, trust them, respect them as you obey. That's what it means to honor your father and mother. And you see, if you have that attitude now, then as you grow up, you're going to realize that even when you're an old guy like me, you can be 50 years old or more and still honor your parents. I still treat, my mom is still with us, and I can treat her with honor because she's my mother. And at this point, I can look back and look at everything I put her through when I was your age, kids, and I can be really thankful that she didn't kill me. So I honor her. I honor her. So honoring your parents isn't something that you do like until you're 10 years old. And then once you're done, you know, or until you're 18, right? Because when you're 18, you're an adult. Huh. Well, that's, I've known plenty of 18-year-olds that weren't adults yet. Obey your parents, kids. You have one job. Obey your parents in such a way that honors them. Not in a way that dishonors them, right? Johnny, go pick up the toys. Okay. Honoring your parents? No. Okay, Mom. I'll go do that. Honor your father and mother. When your life belongs to Jesus, when your life belongs to Jesus, this is what he calls you to. Honor your parents. That's the life. And you know what? Jesus makes that possible. If you have a hard time doing that, talk to your mom and dad about it. Right? Just be honest and say, I have a really hard time doing the right thing when you ask me to maybe anything. I don't know. Be honest. Then you can have a conversation about what Jesus does in the heart of a person who sees their sin and turns from it. Obey like you're obeying Jesus. Honor them like you would honor Jesus. Respect them. And this demonstrates what we saw earlier. Your parents could take you back and read chapter 5 with you. This is what it looks like to walk in love, to walk as light, and to walk wisely. Because when you obey your parents and you do it with respect, you do it with honor, then you're going to have lots of friends who don't know Jesus who are going to see that, and they're going to say, there's something different about this kid. There's something different about them. They don't yell and scream at their parents like I do, like my brothers and sisters do, like my other friends do, right? They don't have fights with them all the time. They treat them with respect. I don't get that. I don't know anybody that respects their parents. Why do you respect your parents? And then you have an opportunity to tell them why. Because Jesus changed me on the inside. So this is what the gospel does to kids. Thank you. So, and by the way, this model of honoring, this is what God calls all of us to, right? It's possible for us to do the old, you know, rebellious schlump with God, isn't it? Big people. Yeah. We obey unwillingly lots of times. We're all still kids of our Heavenly Father, and we all have the same tendency. But let's move on to parents, because I know kids are starting to get a little squirmy now. It's getting uncomfortable. So let's move on to parents. Parents, look at what God says for you. This is what the gospel does. This is what someone who is filled by the Spirit with the fullness of God in Christ, like we saw in chapter 5, and as a parent, this is how they act. Fathers, verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, it's addressed to fathers. And that makes sense because of what we saw the last 2 weeks. The fathers are intended by God to set the tone in the family. Fathers are supposed to be able to say to everybody else in the family, starting with their wives, follow me as I follow Christ, right? We're supposed to be loving them like Jesus loves the church. And wives, you're to be submitting to your husband's leadership. So if the fathers are treating the kids this way, then Paul assumes the moms are doing the same thing. And in any case, he just told the children to obey both of their parents equally. So when he says fathers, he's not certainly not limiting it to fathers. But then he says this interesting thing. He says, don't make your kids angry. Okay, so kids, listen. You don't get to, when your parents say something to you, that like tell you to do something you don't want to do, you don't get to say, Dad, you're disobeying God. You're making me angry. You don't get to do that. Sorry. I'm telling you now. I know some of you were thinking it already. What does he mean? Don't provoke your children to anger. In Colossians 3:21, which is like a parallel passage, Paul said a lot of the same things to the Colossians. In Colossians 3:21, he says, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And it's interesting that he uses that word discouraged. It means to be disheartened, to give up. And here's the picture that he's painting when he says, don't provoke your children to anger. When you treat your children with harshness, with an unreasonable kind of discipline, when your go-to is, because I said so and I'm in charge, when your go-to is that, not that you never get to say that, sometimes we have to, but when that's your go-to, when you have unreasonable demands on your kids, you abuse your authority, you humiliate them, that's what Paul has in mind. You're provoking them to anger, to an anger that says, I don't understand what you're trying to do. It's making me mad, and yeah, it will cause them to sin. And that's on you too, parents. But you treat them harshly in this way, they get angry because they're confused, they don't know what to do, and they go, why try? They become disheartened, discouraged. Now, I'm not the guy who says you have to have a list of 6 reasons why every time you ask your kid to do something. Okay, I'm not that guy. But we have to be reasonable people with our kids because God made them reasonable people too. Now, capable of reason, you understand what I mean. So we have to show them the way, don't we? We have to show them, what does it look like to be reasonable, right? I'm asking you to do this. Sometimes it's just, hey, I need you to do this. Please obey. We'll talk about it later. But don't provoke them to anger. Don't sap away their motivation to obey because you are parenting them for your own convenience. That's what all that stuff adds up to. Abusive discipline, harsh demands, unreasonable. You're walking through life thinking your kids are an accessory. They're here for my convenience, right? They're here to, ultimately someday, they'll do the yard work for me. Right? Now, hopefully they will. That's great. But they're not here for your convenience. Right? They're a gift from God. And you have a responsibility. Your responsibility to them is, parents, I guess I could say, you also have one job. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, the word for bringing them up actually is really interesting. Do you remember last week when we saw the way that husbands are to treat their wives like they treat their own bodies, right? No one ever hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it. Remember that? So husbands, nourish and cherish your wife. The word for nourish is the same word as that he uses here for bring them up. The word essentially means to give someone everything that they need to thrive so that they'll flourish, and then you help them along, right? teach them what they need to know, give them the resources they need in order to flourish, and then help them use those things. And, right? So that fits, doesn't it? It fits both relationships. Husbands, nourish your wives. Make sure that they have what they need to thrive in the Lord, and then help them along. So this one has obviously the connotation of parenting with it, but bring them up, nurture them. The emphasis here is on training and guidance for responsible living. And you do that through discipline and correction. So if the goal is being a grown-up, right? If the goal is to be a grown-up, then you have to give them what they need to get there and help them along. See, this is how a 10-year-old should be. And someday, you'll be able to be the way that a 16-year-old is to be. And when they're 16, this is how an adult lives, right? And you help them along. Give them the resources, give them the training, and correct them. The image here is one of a coach. To translate it into our culture, it's the image of a coach. A coach teaches and then practices with the athlete, gives feedback, recognizes when they're doing something wrong, and they stop them and say, no, that's not the way you're supposed to do this. Do it this way. So that through training, practice, feedback, correction, the person they're coaching gets better and better at what they're doing. I've seen it for many, many years with my wife as a piano teacher. It's another kind of coaching. We've had piano students come and go in our home through our entire 30-year marriage. And when the students are long-term students, I can hear them. I can actually hear them growing in their abilities because she's giving them the information that they need. She's helping them apply that information. She's listening to them as they apply it on their own. She's giving them feedback and correcting them when they're not doing it right. And when you do all that, somebody, they just get better and better and better at it. So when he says, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord, that's what he means. It's that image of a coach. You're helping them grow up. Kids, your parents would love it if you would just go to them and say, Mom, Dad, I want you to help me grow up. That would be awesome. So he says the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word instruction is the emphasis on warning, admonition. It's the idea that I see something wrong, and I'm bringing it to your attention because it's important for you to hear this. You're doing something wrong. So there's kind of an urgency about it because the emphasis is on warning, especially in light of seeing something like you're doing this wrong. And of course, that applies to sinfulness in your kids. But it's not, what Paul has in mind here is not scolding. It's not berating. It's not humiliating your kids. That's not at all. He uses this same word, the discipline and instruction of the Lord, that word instruction, he uses it a number of other times to talk about the way that you and I deal with each other as adults, right? I mean, there are a number of you in here that we have had that relationship so far where I've brought to you an admonition of some kind. Some of you have done that with me. You brought a warning of some kind to me, and I love you for that. So, and when you did, when you came to me, and hopefully when I came to you, we weren't scolding each other, right? We weren't talking down to each other. We weren't trying to humiliate one another. We were bringing a warning so that we can grow together, so that we can correct our behavior, our thinking, our attitude, our words in light of Scripture, in light of the gospel, and better reflect Christ in our lives. That's what you're supposed to be doing for your kids. The discipline, coaching, and instruction, warning to correct behavior of the Lord. So it's children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, train your children in the ways of the Lord. You see that? It always comes back to the gospel. It always comes back to Christ. If Jesus isn't the center of your parenting, just like being the center of your marriage, you're doing it wrong. It's ultimately going to be about you. And if it's about you, then you're not bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You're going to provoke them to anger. And you're going to dishearten them. But the center of your parenting has to be the gospel. It has to be Jesus. So do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up. You have one job. Does this simplify things a little bit? So when there's a conflict, kids, are you listening? Parents, when there's a conflict, there's really one main question you need to answer. How can we honor Christ right now? How can we honor the Lord in this conflict? Okay? Now, child, if you're disobeying mom and dad, it's pretty simple. Obey your parents in the Lord because that's what's right. Parents, if you catch yourself or your spouse catches you being harsh and unreasonable with your kids, then it's time for you to turn and repent and say, how does God want me to honor? What will honor Jesus in this moment? If he is going to be the center of our family, the gospel is going to be the fuel for the life that we live together, then how do I need to respond right now? And it may be that you need to repent to your children. Yes, I said that in front of them. If parents never repent in front of their children, how are your children going to learn to repent? They're looking to you as the example, mom and dad. Remember, they only have one job, follow you. Where are you leading them? What example are you setting for them? Are you obeying your heavenly Father in the Lord the way that you want them to obey you? Are you bringing them along to grow up in Christ? Do your kids know that everything you do to bring them along in life is intended to bring them to Jesus? Do they know that? If not, you need to tell them. You need to have that conversation. And we need to do for our kids what Jesus does for us. He brings us along with patience, with both grace and truth, right? With patience, with kindness, with forgiveness, with constant instruction, if we're listening. We need to do for our kids what Jesus does for us so that when they grow up, they do that. Jesus does that with them too. You understand? They're looking to us, and we have to be the example. So in the end, we each have one job. Children, obey your parents. Parents, bring them along. Bring them to Jesus as a good coach and as a good warning, as a good authority who is warning them. So even though, remember I said kids, remember I said your parents really don't know what they're doing half the time? Parents, you already know that's the case with your kids. This will guide you, right? What will honor Christ right now? What will honor the gospel? How does the gospel live through this moment? And then beyond that, you have to make practical, wise choices, which is why God gave us each other. We talk to each other. We help each other, right? Younger comes to older and say, how did you do this with your kids? The gospel guides us as we figure this out together. So let's do it with tender hearts, with compassion, with forgiveness, just as God has done to us in Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I asked the connections team to give out connection cards to everybody today, including the kids. Kids, do you have your connection card? Let me see it. Hold it up. Okay, great. Okay, now they're showing up. Great. Okay, you have your connection card. Parents, do you have your connection card? Can I thank you for waving the connection card? I appreciate that. I wasn't going to make you do that, but I should. Today, the connection card, I really debated about how to do this. Today, the connection card is not so much to connect you to us as it is to each other. So here's what I want you to do. Kids, I want you to write two things down in your connection card. Two things. First of all, I want you to write down one thing that you're thankful for in your parents. I'll give you time. One thing that you're thankful for. Because we just saw a couple of weeks ago that when someone has given their life to Jesus, they have a heart of thankfulness. We saw that. You weren't here for that sermon, but you can trust me. You have a heart of thankfulness. So I want you to think of one thing that you're thankful for your parents. The second thing I want you to write on your connection card is one thing that's hard, one thing that's really hard about being a kid. And you need your parents to help you follow Jesus in that thing, whatever it is. It could be, I hate cleaning up my room. And I'm always mad when you tell me to clean up my room. Could be that simple. It could be, I have a friend who treats me badly at school and I'm always mad at him. Or anything. Whatever is the hardest thing that comes to mind about being the age that you're at right now, I want you to write it down. Parents, I think you've probably figured out what I'm going to say next. Okay, on your connection card, I want you to write down one thing that you're thankful for with your kids. You'll probably not have any trouble doing that. One thing that you're thankful for, and one thing that's hard about parenting your kids. And it shouldn't be something like, you always get mad at me when I tell you to clean up your room. Something about you and your heart that's hard about parenting, okay? I want you to write that down because you also need Christ's help to grow in that direction. Make sense? And here's the thing. I want you to trade cards this afternoon, okay? And talk about them. I tried to figure out a way to, like, have you turn them all in and yet still be able to do that. And I was making a mess, an administrative mess out of it all. I'm going to trust the Spirit of God to move in your heart to do this, okay? I want you to hear from your kids, and I want you to respond genuinely based on not provoking them to anger, but bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then I want you to tell your kids, this is how I need Jesus' help as a mom. Or as a dad. Does that make sense? God is calling all of you, all of us. I'm still a parent. God's calling all of us to some aspect of repentance today. If you're a kid and your parents aren't here, if you're a parent and your kids aren't here, there's still something for you here. Okay? So take a moment while the band is coming, and we're going to sing a song that's going to help us submit our hearts to the Lord. We're going to sing the song, Restore My Soul. Because I'm really asking that God is going to bring this to life for us today. The simplicity of the family life that he's called us to. Children, obey. Parents, bring them up. And recommit ourselves today. Recommit ourselves to that simple job. Let's bow our heads. I want you to take a minute and just between you and the Lord, write those two things down. Then we're going to pray and we'll sing together. Go ahead and take a moment. Lord Jesus, we need the work of your Spirit to guide us as both parents and children. We've seen already through your word in Ephesians that hearts that are yielded to your Spirit, that are given up, submitted to your Spirit, will be filled with the fullness of Christ. That Jesus will live through us if we would just get out of the way. God, we need you to help us do that, to convict us and then give us the strength of conviction to carry through, to use the grace that you have already poured out into our lives through your word and your Spirit and your people to just obey. And we've seen that when we do that, we are changed. Everything about us changes. Lord, we long to see our families changed in that way. Parents and children of all ages. And as you work in our hearts, Lord, convict us of how we fail to obey and honor you. Lord, as parents, teach us to set the example for our kids of what obedience, willing, respectful obedience looks like because they see us obeying you. Lord, we need you to convict fathers and mothers today to turn to their kids and admit, I don't know what I'm doing. But by God's grace, we're going to do this together. And he's going to guide us. And we're going to make Jesus the center of our family. And we're going to make the gospel the fuel for our relationship. Do that work in our church family today, Father, by your Spirit. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.